Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome to episode 97 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Kofi Outlaw, and this week, I have none of my usual co-hosts because everybody decided 2020, F it, let's just take some time off. So Janelle Wheeler's not here, Matthew Aguilar's not here, but that's okay because everybody's expendable and we have replacements. Today we brought back one of our founding members himself, Mr. Brandon Davis is back from the road, so we decided to snag him while we had him. Plus we have gaming editor Roland Bishop is back on the couch. And, of course, over in his producing chair, producing, is Mr. Jim Viscardi.
Snap, I got an intro. I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, well, you gotta stay frosty on this podcast. You never know what's gonna come at you. So, we got everybody here today because, mostly we got movie trailers to talk about. People are just dumping trailers left and right. So we have a lot of those to break down for Black Widow, Bloodshot, Morbius. We got a whole bunch of arguing to do about what this Morbius trailer has revealed that is now just kind of blowing BD's mind about
everything and nothing at once.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
It's like somebody heard our previous podcast and they were like, yes, let's go with that.
Let's turn the volume up on that argument.
So, and then we have, for our deep dive, we have a review of the new horror film Underwater, which is getting a little underrated for how good it is. So we're going to try to give that a plug. And Roland has some big news in gaming because a whole bunch of stuff just happened in gaming really fast.
As surprised gaming as you is are. Having a baby too.
No. No. And of course, no, since
gaming is leaving the royal family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gaming. Wow. Gaming is leaving the royal family. Wow.
Current events.
Almost political. All right. So. Finally, we also, since it's Wednesday, we have to do a comics rundown in honor of Matthew Aguilar, who is out raising his newborn daughter, so congratulations to him, and we'll pick up that baton for you, buddy. It'll probably be kind of half-assed, but we're going to try. So,
we'll get there.
Starting right at the top, Marvel, during the college football championship game,
go Tigers,
dropped the second trailer for Black Widow, which... It seemed like we just got the teaser.
It was a, quote, special look.
It's one of those. It's a special look.
It's a trailer.
It's a trailer.
Shave 30 seconds off trailer.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So there you go.
Definitely in the MCU.
Yeah. So we got a new next look at Black Widow, which, again, it seems like really rapid. For as long as we've had to wait for, like, Avengers trailers. We got that awesome teaser. Now we got this one, which is not less awesome. So we got a new trailer for Black Widow, which basically kind of recovers the ground from the first in faster fashion instead of like an extended scene and like whole scenes. We get basically she meets Yelena, she goes off, they have to get a team together. But we got more insight into the characters that we're going to meet in this one, like Florence Pugh as Yelena, Rachel Weisz as Melina, and of course David Harbour as chewing up scenery as Red Guardian. And of course,
is that a
fat
joke? Chewing up scenery?
Yeah, I mean it is. I am fat shaming him.
Wow,
That's just a thing to do in 2020.
On the record.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can those old white guys please get a break? And of course, we got a look at the new villain for Black Widow, Taskmaster, and we finally got some Taskmaster-ness out of this whole thing. And so we're going to talk about all that first. BD, I always like to put you on the spot because you always know more than you're allowed to reveal. So we like to make you sift through like what you can say and can't say. What did you think of this Black Widow trailer?
Hot I think spot. It's awesome. I thought it was a great
what
trailer.
What can you tell us about?
I can't tell you anything for a while, but I can tell you when we're not rolling. No, I can't. I think it's a really good trailer. I think everybody's getting caught up in Rachel Weisz is not Taskmaster. And I really think Melina is going to be Taskmaster. I think Taskmaster is not a person in the MCU. I think it's a title. So I think that Melina becomes Taskmaster. I really do. But there's a scene in that, I've said that since the San Diego Comic-Con footage, well before I did anything I can't talk about. And I just have a hunch, man. It just makes sense. Let the female-driven Marvel movie have a female villain for the first time. We had Hela, but you know that was a Thor movie.
And Ghost.
And yeah, it was Ant-Man.
That was Arrow.
Yeah. So this is all. This could be Black Widow's movie gets a lady villain, and we're here for it. I just think, and I also think Florence Pugh as Yelena Belova is totally dying.
I
think she's dead.
I thought it was really interesting how they set this up. So they aired that weird featurette first as a way to remind
at halftime
to remind people that, like, yes, you saw this character die in Endgame, but here's why we're making a movie about her. and set all of
what they really should have said in that thing, in that was, you really wanted Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, but we slipped up and had to move it back. So here's the movie we were able to make first.
Here's right. what we got.
I mean, I think they were going to make this movie anyway,
oh,
but
sure.
It wouldn't have been in May.
But at the same time, but they were just like, oh, but it just it seemed weird to offer fans, presumably the like a football watching audience who may or may not be paying attention to what's going on in the grander Marvel scheme of things.
And most of them are not.
I'm like, who and what this character was. I don't think we've ever seen a featurette type thing on a broadcast.
No, that was
before
a
trailer.
Yeah, that was a first. And then it was so annoying because they kept saying, exclusive special coming. And then that
dude,
aired.
They made so many nerds wait till
says,
the freaking end of the
tuned.
Third.
And that game was a long game. I mean, the first half took 2.5 hours. And then it didn't air until after the third quarter. So it was like after 11 p.m. Eastern time that they finally released the trailer.
You guys are making me so happy I just watched this thing online.
They've been dropping Black Widow trailers at the worst hours
it's
ever.
It's been really
the first
weird.
Trailer dropped at like 3:15 a.m. Eastern time. Or 4:15 a.m. Eastern time is weird time. And then this one drops at like 11:15.
But usually when they do that, when they do like that early morning, late trailer drop, is because that, you know, said star, and this is the case for Bloodshot, which we'll talk about later, has a big international presence. And I don't know if ScarJo is that, but the whole release strategy for Black Widow has been very weird.
I guess it works. We'll see. I don't know.
I mean, right now, I don't know. Like, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions both behind and in front of the cameras on this. I think my interesting thing about this trailer was the ways I agree that this whole Taskmaster as a title thing could be like the big spin out of the ending of this movie, because they keep dropping hints. And this has been a theme, I think, of Phase 4 is setting up the kind of actually building the next phase of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, what's out there, what the threats are, like, what organizations are there. Now that we're not focused on, like, Thanos and all of space, like, who's making power plays on Earth and doing this. There's the Mandarin, the Ten Rings, whatever the hell's going on in Eternals. And in this, you know, the mention that there's a whole new world of Widows, suggesting there's a whole new phase of this program that started up again, and there's a whole new network of assassins out there being trained by somebody like a Taskmaster, and what that will mean kind of going forward, because it'll be left dangling. Infinity War will happen. Endgame will happen. 5 years pass, and then it's just like, where is this program now? Like, when we get to the modern time period.
I think this is going to do more to expand the MCU lore than people thought it would.
Oh, this is
first.
Definitely a setup for the rest of everything.
Well, I mean, it's definitely a setup for more Black Widow content one way or another, whether it's ScarJo, Yelena, or Melina, like, it could be, like, anything. But I think there's going to be more to it in terms of the MCU.
Or if the Widows go back to being, like, just a deadly assassin squad, like, running around the MCU. Yeah. So we'll see. But I've been liking both trailers. I think the only reason I like the teaser more than this one is the teaser had that awesome soundtrack to it, which this one didn't have. It almost sounded like an awesome Black Widow theme.
Huge missed opportunity to not use that song, like a Black Widow, baby. You know what I mean?
Yeah, keep that out of here. No, that techno
they
synth
use
thing
that right
was,
when the title came on.
Sounded like she had her own Bourne kind of soundtrack. Yeah. So I missed that.
Very Winter Soldier-y.
Yeah, I missed that from the first teaser. But otherwise, everything I've seen from it and all the action, it looks really good. Like David Harbour's Red Guardian looked awesome in this one. The Taskmaster copying stuff looked really awesome.
Throwing his shield like Captain America.
And like Natasha's reaction to that, and seeing like, oh crap.
Wait, haven't I fought you before?
Yeah, exactly. Like in just at the end where Taskmaster poses just like her and they do the when they're kind of throwing down, like, so that looks cool. And I'm actually psyched for Black Widow. And, you know, that's a feat in and of itself, because like Jim said, we've seen this character die already. So it gets like retroactive. Spoilers for Endgame if you're that person that didn't see it.
One might say this trailer really landed.
Oh, wow. All
soon. Right.
Too soon.
They love to drop Black Widow trailers.
Stop it. All right. Moving on. Leave the dad jokes to Rollin and me.
Thank you.
Moving right along. If you want to check out the Black Widow trailer, head on over to comicbook.com. Marvel. Moving from the Marvel Cinematic Universe to that off-brand Marvel Cinematic Universe over at Sony, we got the first trailer for Morbius. Jared Leto attempting to get back in the comic book movie game, leaving that Joker behind. And now he's a different kind of damaged, the physically type, because he plays Michael Morbius. And in this live action version, Morbius, and I don't remember this from the comics. I think in the comics, he's a little bit more healthy when he's sick. Like, he's not like physically on crutches and debilitated, lifelong illness. So, yeah, I mean, but it's Jared Leto. They got to give him some kind of dramatics to work with, that guy. So in this version, he's been kind of this lifelong ill child and trying to kind of find this cure for this rare disease. And then he thinks this kind of piano wire contraption with some blood is a good way to do it. Bats, stuff. Later, he becomes a living vampire. And so we got our first kind of real sense of how Morbius will function as kind of an anti-hero, superhero type person, what his power sets will be. Because they explain it to us like in pretty good exposition drop of echolocation, you know, bloodlust, strength, speed, all that stuff.
Although, oddly enough, has weird Nightcrawler powers.
The audience is not familiar with this character.
No, sure.
They do have to do
that.
Yeah,
no, like, yeah.
They have to.
I'm giving it crap, but like, I mean, it is very necessary.
Are you suggesting people don't know Morbius, the living vampire?
Yes, I am. Wow. I am not suggesting. I am claiming.
Random.
Yeah, you ever tried to do a Wikipedia search for him, like, or pictures for this guy and his stories and his characters? It's like, there's one tiny little panel from the 90s for like every person in his world.
Did you mean Morpheus?
Yeah, exactly. So, we got it, but all in all, I mean, it looks like a fitting addition. It looks like a movie that fits right in with that Venom kind of aesthetic.
It looks to me like, I mean, when I was a kid, I really liked movies like Ang Lee's Hulk and like even the Incredible Hulk or the Blade movies, which when you look back on them now, it's like, were they
that? I still enjoy Blade.
But, you know,
The Blade movies still hold up.
They have they have their things that worked back then, and today they probably wouldn't work if they were in new movies, but they give me that same kind of vibe.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping it's kind of like that, but updated. And if so, I mean, we might really enjoy this, but Venom, at the same time, felt like it should have come out 15 years ago. And it, for me, it didn't work. So I don't know. It's cool.
I think Morbius is kind of, I mean, Morbius looks like a late 90s to 2005 superhero movie to me.
Absolutely.
So like, and I enjoyed Venom. I don't think it was perfect. I think Sony's very much still finding their legs in all this.
I like getting the origin story out of it though. I mean, like it reminds me very much of like the Incredible Hulk with the scientific sort of origin story. Like, I dig that stuff. So,
and I think that part will be interesting. I think it'll be an interesting beginning. I think in a lot of ways I could see Morbius being one of those movies that was like, oh, I love this movie. And it's, again, a staple of a lot of early comic book movies. Like, I love this movie up until this comic book part came into it, and then that was less interesting. So I could see it being this way with just Jared Leto playing this afflicted doctor and person. Because there is a whole mythos they build about him trying to heal the sick and his noble intentions for doing this. And because it's not, they can't make it at this point like a Doctor Strange clone, but like Michael Morbius is a Doctor Strange clone, essentially, like in comics.
It's like Doctor Strange meets Iron Man's problems kind of stuff.
Well, it's interesting because the whole character of Morbius is he is a vampire created by technology, which sort of separates him from Blade, separates him from Dracula. And so like that alone, like that sci-fi element of it is always something I've kind of liked about Morbius. But
you knew who Morbius was before this?
Yeah. Well, the first thing I said was, does he have the like the sucker things on his hand? Because that's what he had in the animated series, and it doesn't look like he has them. That made me sad.
Because
maybe
very
they didn't
creepy.
Show everything. Maybe they didn't.
Maybe they didn't show. No, it. Maybe they're still working on.
Look like he could. Like,
that's true.
Because I mean, he's like what you're talking about with the Nightcrawler thing.
Oh yeah, that
he's
power?
Just jumping from wall to wall, and that's in slow motion.
Maybe.
I don't know if he's actually teleporting.
That's true. I hope not, because that's a. Would be a dumb power for him to have.
A dumb power for Morbius, the living vampire, to have?
Rollin,
I think it's like that Moira. If you play Overwatch, like Moira, like that weird like little wispy teleportation thing that Moira does. Like, and then like over here. Like, that's what I got it. Like, vampires move fast and kind of do that, like, wispy kind of. If you've ever played, like, a vampire video game, Castlevania and stuff, you know what I'm talking about. Like, you've done it before. So, yeah. So, I mean, it looked pretty standard. But, of course, Sony's already banking up, like, a lot of hype for this because, as is the case with most of these franchise movies, like, the trailer for Morbius didn't just sell this movie. It sold us opened a whole can of worms by revealing a cameo appearance at the end from none other than Michael Keaton, who they don't
what
name in the trailer. They don't name the trailer at all, but based on, as BD and others here have done breakdowns on, based on what he's wearing, based on the context of him being kind of a convict, it seems pretty clear that this is Michael Keaton reprising his role as Adrian Toomes, a.k.a. the Vulture, who appeared in Marvel's Spider-Man Homecoming.
Which Sony let you know they were the studio behind in the trailer. They took full credit for Spider-Man Homecoming, Spider-Man Far From Home, and of course Venom, because that is theirs fully.
Yep. And
but,
so
they took full credit for those.
Yeah, so Adrian Toomes Vulture is appearing in Morbius, where he makes contact with Michael Morbius, and there's a whole kind of history suggested that, oh, you're leaving the good guy thing alone. What's up, Doc? Like, you know, a little Bugs Bunny joke that only Michael Keaton can pull off.
That's a Joker meeting Batman, by the way.
Yeah, that is. And we've done the spin-out. That is Batman 1989 meeting the damaged Joker and being like, what's wrong with you?
Well, technically, they're both Batman.
Oh, I see what you did there. There's the dad jokes.
Thank you.
There's the dad jokes.
Thank you.
All right.
He'll be here all day.
Jeez, my God. But so this is just broken BD's brain, because if you've listened to this podcast, we've had some pretty spirited, we'll call them debates to keep it classy, so pretty spirited debates about Venom and its connection to the Spider-Man movies and whether these are all in the MCU. And I believe, and I'm not saying this as I told you so, but I did say that I feel like Sony and or Marvel are just going to start playing this fast and loose, doing kinds of crazy stuff, and not explaining
it. I don't think Marvel's doing any playing fast and loose. Oh, I have two theories. I have two theories.
Well, Marvel's playing it fast and loose is just rolling Kevin Feige rolling his eyes and saying fine to like whatever.
But
Amy Pascal.
It's not like he can say no.
No, I mean, I'm sure this was all part of the renegotiation.
But here's the thing. Spider-Man has lived in his own bubble with his own cast of characters.
So let me lay out my two theories for you.
Decades.
Let me lay them out.
All right.
I have two theories on this. One is,
I hate the Spider-Verse theory.
One is, this is, well, I love the Spider-Verse theory, and you can get lost if you don't like it. One is that this is the MCU. It's Sony's little corner that they're going to operate in, and it's going to be directly attached to the MCU. And like the comics that Jim just mentioned, this will exist and not impact Marvel Studios films. Peter Parker can go from movie to movie, and maybe they can reference things that, or they might not be able to say Morbius if Sony doesn't give them permission, and then they can't say Iron Man. Sony can't say Iron Man if Disney doesn't give them permission, kind of like the Netflix characters did. That big green guy, or the dude with the hammer, when they didn't say, and I don't know why that works out legally, but it seems like they couldn't connect them. But that's one thing. It's a pocket in the MCU that therefore you will have to consider canon to the MCU, even though Pym Tech is not mentioned in San Francisco in Venom, which will always piss me off because I like this continuity stuff and I like Easter eggs and connections. But all right, fine. It's its own little thing. They're not connected beyond legal thing. Like, the legalities keep them apart. Sony just kind of says, you know what? We want to be connected to the MCU because it makes more money. That's what they're doing, I think, if that's the thing.
Yeah, I mean,
Sony's
cashing
in on that. Smart.
And I'm sure that was
smart
a part of the renegotiation was, look, let's drop the BS. Like, let us eat off this, please. Like, stop messing around.
But even still, there's nothing Disney or Marvel could do to stop that, as long as they don't mention characters from the MCU.
Exactly.
Anyway, okay, so that's theory one. Theory two, and this comes from the grounds that Spider-Man costume seen on the wall is not Tom Holland's Spider-Man costume. That is Sam Raimi's Spider-Man as it appeared in the PS4 game. Sam Raimi's nonetheless, is that this is in some sort of multiverse. It's in a different universe that's, you know, can be connected to the MCU. And that is Adrian Toomes, but it's a different Adrian Toomes as multiverses go. So therefore, Tony Stark might still be alive here, or he might never have existed, or how, you know, anything like that could happen. And Tom Holland's Peter Parker can then travel between them. And Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man is out there somewhere, which means Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man could be out there somewhere. And eventually, this could all lead to one big live-action Spider-Verse, which Sony should use as their Spider-Man Endgame. It would be the biggest Spider-Man movie they could ever make.
That is a super tight tinfoil helmet. But
what do you mean? Wait, did you see how awesome thing. Spider-Verse was?
Yes.
Imagine bringing back Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield.
Going to a live-action Spider-Verse, I think, is a great idea. I think pinning the entire theory on the fact that Raimi's Spider-Man was shown on a poster.
Well, then it's just a lazy Easter egg. That's just lazy.
Are you suggesting that...
It's one option is it's Spider-Verse. Product placement.
Yeah.
I understand that, but it's just lazy.
How is it lazy? It's product placement.
Lazy is every Easter egg can be. I mean,
no. There's never been an Easter egg like in a Marvel movie that just takes something directly from something unrelated, a different property, and just sticks it in there just to like just put up something.
If they change it for the final movie, your entire theory goes out the window.
Yeah, sure. No, you're right. I agree with that. My point is that whether or not they change it, even if it is Tom Holland's Spider-Man suit, I would still like to see them build to a world where Andrew Garfield Spider-Man and Tobey Maguire Spider-Man crash into this Spider-Verse movie in live action, and they all have to do something to save the multiverse. I think that would be awesome. And it could exist in Sony's world. Tom Holland could go back to the MCU, and the MCU would be completely unimpacted by it. I think that would be awesome.
Let me ask you a question, BD. One question. Do you think it's more likely that they are building a live-action Spider-Verse or someone in the art department grabbed the wrong image off of Google?
I don't even think someone grabbed the wrong image.
That has to be legally approved within Sony itself.
People make mistakes all the time.
Oh, absolutely. But I think that is more a blatant product placement thing than anything.
The closest thing to this I see is like Robert Downey Jr.'s image from the Spider-Man Homecoming press tour being used in Spider-Man Far From Home or in Avengers Infinity War when they labeled him as missing.
But to me, it would be way more complicated to carve out another sub live action universe than it would be to just say
that's how they do it in comics.
Like let the Tom Holland movies exist. They are MCU adjacent. If changes get made in the MCU, they're allowed to filter down into these movies. Fine, but not vice versa.
I would like to see both totally these theories be
but,
true.
But like the other universes, would be Garfield's universe and Tobey Maguire's universe.
And more universes.
It makes no sense to have Tom Holland play two different Spider-Men.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I don't want that at all. I never said that.
I think we're just, Sony owns the image of that PlayStation game they have.
Yeah, and they just
and I think,
it
like I said, it's fast and loose. They just grab that
but
because they have it.
That's what
and
made
they don't
me
have to
think
pay Marvel
theory.
For an image or go through
right.
the legalities of
sure.
all that. Yeah,
that's what made me think of it, though, is that if this is some sort of tease of Tobey Maguire's or not, I would like to see both this Sinister Six world operate adjacent to the MCU, and I'd love to see Mom and Dad get along and make it work where things can cross over and you can have connections between all the movies and make it all one big universe and shared, not some neglected corner that Sony's making that Disney doesn't want to acknowledge. But I think it would be even cooler if we do that and things work out and we build to a Spider-Verse in live action, bringing back Toby and Andrew.
Absolutely.
And imagine Andrew Garfield's Peter Parker seeing Spider-Gwen from another universe. Like seeing Emma Stone play Spider-Gwen. That would be so cool.
Yeah,
I would rather them go.
I don't think we're like, there's so little evidence that suggests we're.
Well, sure,
ever
no. Now, at this point, it's just a theory that I came up with based on a picture in a Morbius trailer. I know that. But I am so excited at the thought of it that is the biggest Spider-Man movie Sony could ever make.
Hey,
I think you're running before we're walking here, which is.
I am. In the words of Iron Man, sometimes you got to fly before you can walk.
I think it's just Spider-Man is being kind of connected to this movie. I think it could be technically Spider-Man after Far From Home. The poster, why is it a different costume? Somebody just had a Spider-Man poster lying around that was that costume and grabbed it.
Right.
Right. But also, too, like, there's a lot of people who are saying that, like, Spider-Man, like, does it suck that the Sinister Six can't be in the MCU? Yeah, it does. And if they kiss and make up, the two companies kiss and make up, then great. But, like, do I think having the Sinister Six be a force for Tom Holland Spider-Man in this corner of Sony's Spider-Man universe
that's totally
be
fine.
A bad thing? No, absolutely not.
I mean, there's
no.
not that's even any be... other characters in New York in the MCU. They can totally make their own thing. And even if there were, like Doctor Strange might have better stuff to do. The Fantastic Four, whenever they come, they're not going to go get involved in Spider-Man's Sinister Six battles.
Sinister Six
That's
stuff.
How comics work.
The Sinister Six aren't like a major world-dominating threat to like all Marvel characters. They're usually a group of people who have some particular reason to be focused on Spider-Man and usually working in secret to kind of do it. Yeah. Pulling heists. They have a secret base that's under the East River in a thing. Doc Ock's building something he wants to use or something like crazy like that. So these are all problems that are just Spider-Man level problems. They're not right. necessarily on
Avengers.
Yeah,
it could work. This is the perfect. It could work. Yeah. I like.
And half of it would be just even connecting the dots that this is all a coordinated villain group as opposed to random evildoers kind of seeming
a bunch of nuisances.
Yeah, doing stuff. And then part of it would be the mystery of a photojournalist tracking down, oh no, this is all connected. And by the time he figures that out, having it be kind of crazy. But aside from that and the whole continuity thing, there are other kind of fun hints in this Morbius trailer. Jared Harris's character has been kind of a focus. The Mad Men star plays kind of a doctor who's a mentor to Michael Morbius. And some people are thinking he could be Doc Ock, which would be really cool. I would really love to see, you know, Jared Harris, Mad Men, Chernobyl. He was Moriarty in the Sherlock Holmes movies.
He's great as Moriarty.
Yeah, he was really great as Moriarty because Jared Harris, I forget which movie it was, but that's how he kind of got his start, is playing really kind of creepy
villains.
Yeah. And so it would be good to see him as a kind of Doc Ock, especially if they do it like the Spider-Man game, like, you know, he is a truly benevolent good guy to begin with.
Yeah.
Kind of takes a downward spiral. That would be very,
could
very
be really cool.
So go check out the trailer for Morbius. And we didn't even mention. Yeah. You see him. He's a vampire. It looks pretty good. Looks pretty like comic accurate Morbius. No problems there. All right. So that's it. The Spider-Verse continues to expand. Check out that trailer on comicbook.com Marvel. When we come back after this quick break, we are going to break down the new trailer for Bloodshot and then jump into some reviews of comics, movies, and games. So stay tuned.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so real quick, because we're going to go through this one. We got a lot to do in the deep dive section. Bloodshot Trailer 2. Bloodshot Trailer 1 I enjoyed because it was like a concept trailer. It showed the whole concept of Vin Diesel as Bloodshot and him being kind of augmented with these nano machines that allow him to heal himself and have strength and all the superhero stuff, but being caught and used in this loop of kind of like Edge of Tomorrow style, him doing these missions, dying, being resurrected by this kind of corporate group or research group led by Guy Pearce, who, you know, is always evil whenever you see him in a lab coat. And basically him kind of trying to get out of this cycle of life and death and kind of, you know, slavery or kind of a indentured servitude of soldiering. What I like about Bloodshot Trailer 2, which I really did enjoy, is it gave you the kind of larger comic booky feel and view of the movie beyond the kind of life and death concept. Now we know, like, Bloodshot's going in, and it's not just him. It's a whole lab full of, like, enhanced freaks, and they look like a lot of other side characters that look really cool. Some big fights we're going to see that they hinted at with the guy in the exoskeleton, but it looks like we'll get a lot more of that, and generally just kind of the effects and stuff coming along. And they avoided a lot of the cheesier parts of the first trailer, like, you don't know men like me, blah, 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 blah. So,
well, it's a Vin Diesel movie, so
yeah,
you're going to have those,
obviously. But I like this new trailer for kind of the way it's put together and what it stresses, and it looks like just a good, exciting Vin Diesel comic book movie. So
it looks better than I expected.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's really like the general consensus. Like, I think... that first trailer was, I thought it was a very good trailer, the first trailer,
yeah,
just laying it down, sort of like this Morbius trailer just did, introducing the world to this character and laying it all down, showing you who's in the movie, what the tone of it's going to be like.
And surprisingly slick visual effects.
Yeah, and yeah, seriously. And I mean, did we get a money shot of him as Bloodshot?
We get the glowing scene towards the
end, he's rebuilding and you can see what he kind of
resembles.
Yeah, the
glowing in the middle.
Yeah, I think it looks cool. I mean, like, they found a way to do him regenerating all this stuff in a way that looks cool.
That's kinda different from like Wolverine.
Yeah, exactly.
Like other regenerations that we've seen.
Different from anything we've seen before. True enough to the books, I guess.
I hate to say it, because I had zero expectations of this, may not actually be a bad movie.
I think it might be pretty good. I honestly think it might be. It might surprise a lot of people because these smaller comics come out. They right. try to make them. I mean, some of them are really good.
No, and it's just, great. And it's like, great to see another superhero franchise.
Like Two Guns was really good, but I think this might be better. See. I'm just thinking of like lesser,
yeah, I mean,
non-Marvel DC, right. like smaller brands.
As you can see in our background, like behind BD here, like, I mean, even the visual effect of his face, like getting blown off and coming back together, all that stuff looks a little bit slicker in this trailer.
What did Dave Wilson do before this?
He was Tim Miller's partner at Blur. So this is his first. So
did he like work on Deadpool then?
I think so. This is his first directorial
debut. Looks like, I mean.
But he's worked on a ton of, I think he worked with Tim on that scene from Thor the Dark World that Tim Miller worked on, that like that pre-scene before the movie gets started. And he's done a ton of like video game animatic work.
Yeah. And I mean, we've seen Dave at Comic-Cons and like, he is so genuinely excited about this.
Oh yeah.
And it gives me before I saw the trailer, his excitement gave me confidence in
absolutely.
It. So I hope it's good. I really do. I mean, we're going to watch it anyway. So let's hope we sit through a movie that we enjoy.
Yeah.
When does it come out?
Bloodshot comes out. Like, I mean, you know, we should probably be the people who know this, right?
Well, we know this. We're about to say.
Yes.
Let the suspense build.
Comes out in 2020.
That's right.
On the 13th of March.
Oh, wow. It's not far at all.
No.
It's very close.
Wow. Yeah, that's really close.
Time to get more trailers out.
Nah, I think they've done good.
We'll get one more trailer.
I mean, considering, again, what we thought about this movie sort of as it was in production and what the general consensus seemed to be, this looks great.
But throughout production, throughout the announcement of this movie, the attitude towards this movie has been very dismissive.
Yeah. I mean,
now
absolutely.
That we've seen trailers, it's like, all right, time to take the movie pretty seriously.
The Vin Diesel loyalist will definitely be in for this. It has a much better chance.
And he has a lot of loyalists.
Last Witch Hunter or something. But Dave Wilson, he didn't work on Deadpool, but his list of credits are awesome. He did Star Wars, The Knights of the Old Republic games, Avengers Age of Ultron, Elder Scrolls, Bioshock Infinite, Force Unleashed, Halo Wars. So like, you know, some of the most popular video games and specifically some
that are storyline driven, that are like
and have so much, some of the most iconic imagery out there. So not a bad resume. So in Wilson we trust? ? All right.
Release the Wilson cut. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Stop it.
That's what we're going to get. It's fine. Don't worry.
Hopefully we won't need it. Hopefully the Bloodshot theatrical cut will make everybody happy. Go and check that out. Comicbook.com, movies. Movies. So check that out. All right, moving right along into our deep dive section. So I'm going to do a quick review of the new movie, Underwater. This is a non-spoiler review of Underwater, so don't worry about it. You can just listen. Underwater is not like performing that well. It's kind of getting passed over. I did a review of The Grudge and told you guys how bad that movie was. I'm proud to report that Underwater is a lot better than The Grudge. It is your kind of schlocky B horror movie that, you know, it's not a new concept. If you've seen The Meg or The Abyss or any other movie about what the hell can go wrong deep in the ocean, you've probably seen this before. But what makes Underwater kind of very enjoyable is it kind of skirts the line between kind of natural horror and supernatural horror in a lot of ways and what's going on down there. And the premise is generally kind of really good thriller, edge of your seat, if you don't think about it too much, kind of thrills. It really is. The story is basically Kristen Stewart stars as a kind of technician who's working on this deep sea drilling operations that's in the Marina Sound or somewhere in one of those places that's deep in the ocean. And it begins with her kind of in the middle of the collapse of this station. They've hit something. Something's gone really, really horribly wrong. And the whole key to this is that deep in the ocean, it's the pressure that is the most dangerous thing, air pressure and equalization, because if you do not kind of pressurize, at that depth, you literally implode and get crushed. And there are some implosion scenes in Underwater, and they will freak you out, because seeing a human being implode at that much depth is not a pretty or fun sight.
That might be the only thing you say that might get me to go watch this movie.
No, that's the scariest thing. I mean, there are kind of creatures involved and stuff like that, but, like, yeah, seeing the scenes where people, like, literally just implode into, like, big masses of flesh and blood, like crushed by the ocean pressure, is nuts. And that's, like I said, that's like the biggest threat. Yeah, inconvenient for everybody. So that's the biggest threat, because these people basically have to get out of this station that is falling apart and coming down very slowly because it's water, and cross this trench at the bottom of the ocean to get to another place. So very simple. But again, along the way, it's very kind of, you know, one at a time elimination type stuff. You get it. Survival horror. And it comes with a finale that people are kind of like, you know, like, I did not see that coming, but kind of enjoying by the way it goes, kind of full Lovecraft by the end. So check that out. Underwater.
So it is a monster movie?
I'm not going to tell you, Jim.
Okay.
I'm just going to say it part of the
is this
good thing about it.
Is it like prequel?
Scores? I mean, I don't know. It walks the line between supernatural and natural horror very well, in terms of what the scary things are. So check that out. Good cast. It has it has T.J. Miller in it, Kristen Stewart, that guy from the Belko experiment, chick from Iron Fist, Jessica, what's her name?
Henwick,
yeah, from Iron Fist. It also has Vincent Cassel. Is that his name? Yeah, Vincent Cassel, the French dude from Oceans.
Ocean's
12.
Who gets crushed by the ocean?
Oof, couple people, man. It gets pretty real out there.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, check that movie out. It is an enjoyable.
You're excited now.
It's definitely like an enjoyable, if you're just like looking for a horror date night horror thing or a matinee, like definitely worth it.
The next movie I was
so
gonna
check
see
out
Bad
Underwater.
Boys,
now, moving on from the happy surprises of unexpectedly watchable movies to the unexpected disappointments in gaming. Roland, take us away. We've had some bad news on the gaming front.
No.
So
2020 is going well here.
Here's the thing. Square Enix has announced that two big games have been delayed. Final Fantasy VII Remake and Marvel's Avengers.
They might as well just pack it in for 2020.
I was actually talking with our coworker Tanner about this. Mm. I don't know what else Square Enix is putting out this year.
I was kidding. They might as well pack it in for 2020. Like, you had a big year, and you're just like, we got it.
Now, to be fair, these are still coming out this year. They're just delayed several months.
That's not a good sign.
Well,
or is it?
So here's the thing. Marvel's Avengers.
I'll let Roland go first.
Marvel's Avengers got delayed several months. It was supposed to be coming out May 15th. It is now coming out September 4th. That's not a great sign. It has been sort of kicked around before in terms of release dates, and we've seen a bunch of stuff, and none of it has been super impressive. I know Matt was more positive about his impressions. He has played it. I have not. But it doesn't look super great. And what this tells me, because Final Fantasy VII Remake, which Square is seemingly very confident about, got delayed just over a month from March 3rd to April 10th. What this says to me is that they like Final Fantasy VII Remake to sort of tentpole that area rather than Avengers, which is not a good sign for Avengers at all.
Avengers should be free sales.
Like
it should just be
no,
free money
I mean,
for them.
Just knowing gaming, like, Spider-Man by this point, like if you have it in the can and you have the game dynamics down and they're really tight, like you're showing that off by now. Like you're at least letting people play through, whether it's team-based fights or like whatever it is, or the unique power sets and switching, like you're letting people begin to experience that system, the kind of general system you've set up. This kind of suggests like you don't have that tight yet. Like the general basic game, like system of this game.
The runway for this game, or the runway that they need for this game to make continual money for them, is very, very important. And apparently it's been a hot mess from the get-go, and that Square Enix America is really the only thing holding it together. So,
what do you mean?
Not good signs. Like not what? Good. Just their models aren't, you know, their supposedly models aren't done. There's a lot going on.
Which we've seen some of. They changed the Thor model very visibly from
like
one trailer to the next. Black Widow's been changed.
Why haven't they changed Hockey Pad Cap? That's the one thing that looks terrible.
Maybe
they like
will.
Hockey
now
Pad Cap.
Now they've got time.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Why do they like
look
it?
Look at the background. Hockey Pad Cap.
It looks
Cap
stupid.
He's carrying
it's,
his
it's
thing.
Real, it's the worst. That and like weird bubbly Iron Man, that bubbly Iron Man design.
I really want to play this game. Because just as a Marvel.
Well, it's just
fan.
Like you, I mean, in the era the of like design, the Arkham games, the Spider-Man games, and what Avengers Endgame has just done, like you can't drop a subpar Avengers game right now. Like it's just.
Do you think there's a chance they delay it even further?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Oh, I hope 100%. They. Look.
This is giving me flashbacks
there.
To Overkill's The Walking
yeah,
Dead.
Yeah, I hope they just.
Which was canceled altogether.
I don't. So Let me go on record here. This is going to come out. Reason that it's a Marvel's Avengers game that looks to be mostly done. There's probably going to be some problems with it, even with the delay. That's not unusual for these type of games. They're very big. They've got a lot going on under the hood. Are they going to fix a lot of that in these coming months? Hopefully. There's still several events coming up that this game should be at. People are going to get their hands on it. We'll see it at PAX South this coming weekend, most likely. We'll see it at other PAX events. We'll see it at E3, probably. Like, there's a lot of opportunity for them to get this into people's hands, and it'll be interesting to see what changes are made, if any, iteratively over that time.
The Last of Us was just delayed. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. Is Iron Man VR still coming out in February?
It's supposed to come out next month, yes.
Okay.
Well, that Rocket League or whatever you're playing is going to have to hold you down.
Keep getting miles in my Rocket League car.
Just getting better at Apex. It's all good.
Yeah, Final Fantasy VII Remake still coming out.
And they're only doing that in like the first part when it comes out.
It's still going to be something like 30 plus hours, most likely. It's
for most players, not for old Jedi like myself.
So it's new. It's entirely new. Like, we've seen, they've put out a lot of images of this, and it's very clear that they've expanded certain areas. Like, for example, there's this whole train graveyard area. And if you've played the game at all, you know that it's basically just like one single background scene. You go into the train graveyard, you leave the train graveyard. And now there's multiple instances where it looks like, well, maybe there's like a cutscene going on there. Maybe there's a bunch of enemies. And that's just like one area. The producers have talked about how they've added new characters, new fights. We've seen what theoretically is the end of this section of this game in the trailer. So it makes the question like, okay, so wait, does it end there? Is there something past that? All of that would be totally new content.
When are they going to remake Final Fantasy X?
That is an excellent question. Probably never. First, they've got to remake it.
Yeah. That's the one I want.
And moving right along, so that's it. We got Final Fantasy delayed, Avengers delayed. But there is some good news.
Can we
on
end
the other
up something
side.
Positive, Kofi?
Yeah, we have good news on this
Gosh.
Side. We have Super Mario World over in Japan is looking good. And this week is bringing a highly anticipated release that's actually making it on time.
Yeah, so Super Nintendo World is supposed to release in Universal Studios Japan this summer. So, like, in conjunction with the Olympics is what the whole idea is, that, hey, the Olympics is happening. Also, Super Nintendo World is open. So, we got a trailer for it. It looks fine. Like, it's a kind of a weird music video kind of trailer. We've seen some shots of, like, park passes. We know Mario Kart is going to be there. What that actually entails.
Nintendo chased all the bootleg Mario Karters out of Tokyo.
Yeah, yeah.
So they can have their Mario Kart land.
Yeah, every time there popped up like a street racing Mario Kart, which looks exciting, right? Every single time.
Looks tremendously dangerous, but I would do it.
Nintendo has basically sued all of those into the ground whenever
it
happens.
That looks great. And the game release. This is a good one because this is a good cross for anime and Megan's side of the fence. We're getting Dragon Ball Z Kakarot.
We are. It is coming out this Friday, January 17th. We literally, before we hopped in here, we got review codes. So I don't know if that means good things or bad things for this game.
One way to find out.
I'm really
excited for this one. I'm going to be so sad if it's garbage. Yes,
the trailers look very exciting for anime fans. The gameplay looks a little mixed. We'll see.
All right, so our guys in gaming are going to dig into this, and we're going to try to get back to you with a little review this week of Dragon Ball Z Kakarot.
Impressions, if nothing else.
If nothing else, yeah, just first impression. Like, I turned it on, played 5 minutes, went to sleep. So far, so good. We'll have something for you, so stay tuned for that. So that'll do it for gaming, and in honor of Matt, who is at home taking care of his new baby girl, he couldn't be here, but he knows this show, and he didn't want to leave all of our listeners without and viewers without without their comic rundown of the week. So Matt sent it in, and now you're going to get my abridged version of what he wrote, but I'm going to give it to you. So here are the hot comics coming out this week that you need to be aware of. We're going to start with Dragon Age, Blue Wraith number one. I am doing so good on the reading front.
Good start.
Yeah. Dragon Age 2's Fenris makes his comic debut. Triple exclamation point. So all you Dragon Age fans, you don't want to miss that. We're going to get Marvel's Black Widow Prelude number one. So if you know anything with the MCU.
Lazy lately.
Yeah, the MCU always drops these Prelude comics. Some of them are good. Some of them are not so good. Lately, it's been not so good, so there might be a couple little insights into what's going on. Check that out.
Willing to bet it's just a rehash of Civil War.
And we'll cover it on the site, most likely, if there are any.
Yeah, yeah.
So
we'll have articles for you. Don't worry about that. Steeple number 5, and Matt writes, this is an underrated series. Here's the premise. Two women with wildly different worldviews become unlikely friends as they navigate the supernatural happenings in a sleepy coastal parish and soon find themselves forced to choose sides in the war between good and evil, facing demons, curses, and a miniature rapture.
That sounds just like a Matt book.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot in there.
Sounds like a Matt review, definitely.
That is a lot in there. So check out Steeple if you want. Spider-Man, The Black Cat Strikes number 1, which is a new miniseries based on the video game, the Spider-Man video game. See, that Spider-Man video game's invading everywhere. It's multidimensional. All right, we got Hellboy Winter Special 2019 for all you Hellboy fans who are not scarred by that last movie. We have Jessica Jones Blind Spot number 1, so if you're missing that Netflix series about this time of year, you can check that out. Iron Man 2020 kicks off. We had a lot of anticipation for that book, so that's starting now. Don't ask me anything about it yet, because I don't know yet, but when I read it, I will let you know.
Spoiler, it's just okay.
Yeah, Jim says it's just okay. So there you go.
So it's probably great.
Yeah. Wow. Freedom Fighters, wow. Number 12, that series is coming to an end, Freedom Fighters. So if you've been in the story this long, you might want to get this last issue. Venom, the End, number 1, is a story spanning a trillion years, which I guess has something to do with the Venom symbiotes. And
the whole premise of like these, the End stories, is basically like this is the last Venom story.
Oh, that's like the Miles Morales thing.
Right,
so,
exactly. This is that for Venom.
Never going to cause continuity problems, these stories. The Question, The Deaths of Vic Sage, number 2. Matt was very big on this Question series. It's a good kind of detective noir set in a superhero universe.
Super
that examines the Question and who is still a fan favorite character that we want in live action. So be sure to check that out. Support the Question. Valkyrie, Jane Foster, number 7. He wrote Team Cardiac. So I assume Cardiac some kind of presence.
He showed up in the last issue and supposedly has a bigger role to play.
Oh, bigger role for Cardiac in this latest issue of
and
Valkyrie.
Matt's not here.
I know.
Wow.
I know. Matt's missed out on everything. We've had rapping Power Rangers and actual Cardiac appearance. This has been like his time.
Rapping Power Ranger.
But hey, man,
right
kids,
where sitting.
Kids, this is what kids do. They're little time bandits. Aquaman, 56. And it says Aqua Baby Countdown. So I guess he's
Mara's
really
pregnant.
Feeling that one because there's going to be an Aqua Baby coming. Cool. Marvel's Avengers number 29, Rise of the War Widow. That sounds good. I don't know what that storyline's about yet, but War Widow sounds good or really tragic, depending on the context.
Or a War Machine Widow. Because I don't know either.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, and that'll do it for this week's comics. Sounds like a pretty average bag. This is not the hot stuff, but sounds like there's some okay promising stuff out there if you want to check it out. Matt.
It's great. We're almost done.
Yeah, this will be it, because Brandon's looking like none of this. No, don't spend your money.
Never mind.
War Widow? What was that?
Was that your breaking point?
No.
Oh, you saw when I said maybe tragic, depending on the context?
No, I don't make... No.
You can't say things?
But, well, now you have to. You're causing dead air on the radio. What are you going to say?
If it was a War Machine... I can't. No, I don't.
War Machine Widow?
Nothing.
Oh, just stop. We're going to get out of here before we get a lawsuit. CBSI cares. So we're going to get out of here before we go down the wrong path and get a bunch of letters. The only letters we want are your 5-star reviews on iTunes. Since we got some time, we're going to get into these reviews, I think, in our next show. So this is your last chance. You want a t-shirt, leave a 5-star review on iTunes. If you're just now getting into Comic Book Nation, we put up new episodes every Wednesday, every Friday, comicbook.com. You can subscribe to our RSS feed, or you can subscribe on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Google Playlists, Spotify, Stitcher. You can also watch episodes on YouTube on the comicbook.com page. Under the Comic Book Nation, well, we don't have a video section yet, but that's coming. But we do have video, so you can watch it there. If you want to talk to us about anything on the show, just hit us up with the hashtag Comic Book Nation, or you can find me at Kofi Outlaw.
You can find me at Brandon Davis BD.
And I am at Ron Bishop.
And Jim will give out his home number.
Hey.
No, I'm just kidding.
Jim probably still has a corded phone in his kitchen, I bet.
Wow. Oh, man, I wish. That'd be great. I don't. But you can find me on Twitter at Jim Viscardi.
All right, that'll do it. Thank you guys for tuning in, and be sure to check back with us later this week because we got fun stuff to do. Bad Boys 3 is coming. Some other stuff's coming, so be sure to check us out. That'll do it for this episode. We're Comic Book Nation. Peace.
Deuces.